हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 33, chapter 9, Detachment from All That Is Material. The Brahmana continued, A saintly person should remain alone and constantly travel without any fixed residence. Being alert, he should remain secluded and should act in such a way that he is not recognized or noticed by others. Moving without companions, he should not speak more than required. When a person living in a temporary material body tries to construct a happy home, the result is fruitless and miserable. The snake, however, enters a home that has been built by others and prospers happily. Right? So in other words, time does okay. Like, you know, if the house is falling apart, then it's just time. That means time's comfortable. Right? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, He explains what he learned from the snake. The young girl is a guru for giving up even the association of other yogis. The snake is the guru for giving up association of material people. The sage moves about alone, afraid of society, without a fixed residence. Always alert, he lives alone. He is unnoticed by the public, by his gait and actions. He has no companion and speaks little. So, means if you don't put out energy, people don't notice you. Right? So, in one sense, those, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, they'll put out the energy and then you know who they are, you can identify and everything like this. Does that make sense? But then he's saying here that saintly person, he remains alone, so he doesn't put out that kind of energy. How he moves, where he'll move, he won't move through the main areas, he'll always stay on the side. So you won't notice him. Right? You have a crowd. You don't notice the crowd other than it's there, but individuals you don't notice. You notice the ones that are, you know, putting out their full mood and everything like that. Does that make sense? So they're very careful about that. Because why don't you do that? Means others are doing that because they want to be recognized. They need to be. The king has to be recognized, otherwise where's his authority? How does he get anything done? You know, if he says, all right, now we're going to do this, and then we go, who's that guy? You know, it's that they have to know, okay, here's the king. Right? He comes walking in, not a trace of cow dung on him from head to foot, and people then know, oh, wow, this must be the king. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that, then you go about, they have to be noticed. Because they have something to accomplish within material society. So for the sage, he has nothing to accomplish on the material platform in material society. Therefore, his moving about, then he does it so it's not noticed. That he travels alone, he doesn't stay in any fixed place, because he doesn't consider any place his. So it's not that he's avoiding, it's just that since you don't, so all this is not in the negative, he just doesn't see any benefit to it. So that's why he's doing. It's not that he's afraid of it, that there's nothing to accomplish. Now, if there's a program here, there's some Krishna consciousness that can be discussed and all that, then you'll notice that they exist. But then after that, then they'll again disappear. You know, like Sukadeva Goswami. He comes up, you notice him, and then he goes. You know, just as he came, he leaves. Yes.
Nowadays, there's a difficulty. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us to be prominent as preachers.
Yes, but because it's for Krishna consciousness.
Exactly.
So that's not a problem. He's talking about material society. That's what he said. The snake is a guru for giving up association of material people. So you give up an association of material people on the material platform. But if you're going for preaching, then you're a preacher and there's someone who's listening to this. So it's a different. We're talking about for themselves. Then they don't have anything to gain. You won't notice them. But if there's something to do, then you'll notice. Does that make sense? So in other words, if you're moving through Canal Street buying some technology, then you don't want to be noticed. But now when you get to the temple with your technology, now you want to be noticed. It's just a matter, you know, it's like like Manu is saying. He does not have a desire to live, he does not have a desire to die. So that means if death is there, it's not a problem for him. But if life is there, it's not a problem. Either K.A. Wakes, he's going to be serving the Lord. Does that make sense? What you see is that for the materials, they want to live, they don't want to die. So they have that. They have the things. This is the place. I want to live here. This is, you know, we love this place. Let's move here. Let's, you understand? But for the others, that what's favorable for service. It doesn't mean that they don't stay in any place, but it's not fixed. It's not theirs. They may be living in the ashram for the last 20 years, but it's not theirs. It belongs to the temple or whatever it is. And so they're there, but if things change, it's not the favorite place to be. They'll move to somewhere other place. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's no sense of possession. And so since there's nothing to accomplish with the materialist, there's no sense of possession that you have an identity to relate with them. So when there's opportunity for Krishna consciousness, then that's how you deal. You know what I'm saying? So if it's a matter of you're moving through places and by them noticing you, then there's an opportunity for speaking, then you do it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and if you're walking too close to the barbed wire fence where on the other side everything's just barren and all that, better to not be noticed. So, you know, walk more on the green side. So, okay. Yes.
Maharaj, it is always related to this dira, to this way.
Dira, yes, dira. That's the whole point. Because from this we'll take it, he's negating everything. This is how the impersonalist will deal, or the, let's say, the, you know, those with Mayavadis and all that, the Jnani, they'll take it like this. But for the devotee, it just means he's alone, means he doesn't have any attachments to the conditioning of others. So it's just him, but he's technically not alone because he's always with the super soul.
Yes.
Right, constantly travel without any fixed residence. So you're always moving to perform service to Krishna.
Yes.
You know, even if it's moving from, you know, the one room that you're in into the hall to give the class and back to your room, but you're still moving.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
But being alert, he should always remain secluded and act in such a way he's not recognized or noticed by others. Because on the material platform, if you get recognized, then it's got to be something good or bad. It can't be anything in between. Right, materialist is either good or it's bad. They don't have in between. Does that make sense? In between, you don't notice. Right? If they notice, oh, good, then there's going to be some interaction. If they're bad, there's going to be interaction. Does that make sense? So, yeah, so afraid of society, meaning afraid of the materialistic mentality that's there, and that you can get distracted from your devotional service. It's not that they're afraid of, because they're with Krishna. What's to be afraid of? Okay. BBT purport states, right? Speaks little means whatever's required. You're talking about Krishna, you talk. Other than that, you don't talk. You know, what's required. If you're in the place where the opening statement is about the weather, you know, then you talk about the weather, but you don't keep talking about the weather, right? You know. BBT purport states, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that although materialistic persons take unlimited pains to invent and mass produce electricity, automobiles, airplanes, etc., Ultimately, these things are meant for the convenience of the Vaishnavas who are preaching Krishna consciousness, right? So the house and the snake.
Yes.
Right? Means the karmis work so hard to produce all these things to enjoy themselves, they don't actually enjoy themselves. And then the devotees use them for Krishna, and they're quite happy. Right? But it's because it's used for Krishna. It's not that the thing itself is important.
Yes.
Certainly. Yeah. The karmis will always go to such trouble, and the devotees will always offer such laborious productions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by engaging them in his loving service. The devotees, being concerned with the ultimate perfection of life, do not personally struggle for material advancement. You don't have to. It's whatever's happening, whatever that you use. You know, does that make sense? It's not that we have to create something new. It's just whatever's there, you use that. If it's not there, you use something else. Does that make sense? Yeah. The Brahmana continued, "The Lord of the universe, Narayana, is the worshipable God of all living entities. Without extraneous assistance, the Lord creates this universe by his own potency. In the time of annihilation, the Lord destroys the universe through his personal expansion of time and withdraws all the cosmos, including all the conditioned living entities, within himself. Thus, his unlimited self is the shelter and reservoir of all potencies." Right, so it's not something else that's the shelter. He's the shelter. Everything goes back to him. "The subtle pradhan, the basis of all cosmic manifestation, is conserved within the Lord and is in this way non-different from him." That was your question before about, so it's always there. It just is conserved in the Lord. You won't see the manifestation. Then you'll see the manifestation means as pradhan, then you'll see it as avyakta and mahat, then as the particular universes and all that, then it'll wind back up. "In the aftermath of annihilation, the Lord stands alone. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays his own potency in the form of time and guides his material potencies, such as the mode of goodness, into a neutral condition of equilibrium, he remains as the supreme controller of the neutral state called pradhan, as well as of the living entities." Right? So the modes of nature are there. When it goes neutral, that's pradhan. So he controls when it goes from pradhan out into the mahatattva, when it goes back to pradhan, when it's all wound back up into him. "He also is the supreme worshipable object for all beings, including liberated souls, demigods, and ordinary conditioned souls." Right, so therefore, the regular living entities, whatever they're doing, just in their position, it's still the Lord that's worshipable. Because whatever is of value to them in those positions, it's all coming from the Lord. Right? It's all controlled by the Lord. Therefore, their material interest then has to be according to how the situation they're in will actually move forward properly. Right? So we see that the animals, they'll all do things in a natural way. They follow the laws. That's the point of the animals. Right? Humans have a choice now of what they want to do with that position. Right? So then they should be worshipping the Lord, because whatever they want, that comes from there. The demigods who are above, then they also. Right? And then, who is the other one? The great sages. Right? So even though they're liberated, they still, he's the worshipable Lord, because the position of Brahman, that's based on him.
Mm-hmm.
So every living entity is connected to the Lord. Doesn't matter if they're in karma or jnana.
Mm-hmm.
"The Lord is eternally free from any material designation, and he constitutes the totality of spiritual bliss, which one experiences by seeing the Lord's spiritual form. Thus," it's interesting here. This is the, yeah. So here, he constitutes the totality of spiritual bliss. So constitutes, right? So that's the sat principle. Totality of spiritual bliss, ananda, which one experiences, right, still ananda, by seeing the Lord's spiritual form. Right, so then you get the chit, right? Because from his form, that's how everything is. All activities come from his form. Does that make sense? No. Sudama Vipra is explaining that in his when he meets Krishna, unless it's afterwards, or whatever. Sudama Vipra is explaining is that everybody's attracted by the forms of this world, but that comes from Krishna's form. Right? And then these forms of the world, then they do things. And by that, then we consider, I'll be happy. I'll get results. I'll enjoy. Yes. That's all coming from things that have form. That form, that's coming from Krishna's form. Right? They all exist. So that's coming from that aspect. Then they have form. So therefore, action results. And then there's the aspect of Ananda. So the living entities have approached Krishna's creation based upon his existence and his form.
Yeah.
Right? So the world of names and forms, but without Krishna's desire, the Icha. So therefore, trying to enjoy those things without Krishna's desire, we can't enjoy. Does this make sense, or was this a Warsaw moment?
Can we say that the spiritual form is chit because this form is full of knowledge?
Yes. Means the point is, we're just saying here is that you have the three features of Krishna. You have the existence of everything. You have the form, actions, and all that of everything, and you have the experience that you can gain from it. So it's all about his desire. That's being done. Then the kriya and the jnanas, then they're taking care of that. So then in these three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, then everything is taking place. So Brahman and Paramatma are serving Krishna because it's based on him. He's the source. So it's his desire that these things are going on. No?
Yes.
Yeah?
And Maharaj, if it is the form, means it is why the beauty is the first attribute of Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah. And this was Prabhava Vibhava, the explanation.
That one. We use both.
That's what I felt.
Because, you know, it's just depending on what it is, just which one will, in the situation you get the most understanding from, then you use that term. But otherwise, you can keep it all one set of terms if it's going to be easier to understand.
We say Krishna's body is Krishna is the source, but then we say Krishna's body is made up of eternity, bliss, and knowledge.
We're talking about the form. Because you have form, right? Because of the senses, that form is the first, and of the opulence is beauty is the first, because it's from there that all the other things are coming up, right? Seeing the form of Krishna, then that attachment to an inspiration, you know, that comes up. It's the Udipan, right? And then you interact, so it has that aspect of the Vibhava, right? Like that.
So you and Maharaj are discussing both aspects, Prabhava as well as Vibhava.
Is that a problem? Generally we do. Yeah. All these things we just use interchangeably. Maybe that's why no one understands them. Could be. Yeah.
Form is the first and what?
The senses. I think you weren't here when we went.
The six opulences, form is the most important thing.
No, but in the six senses, then the first thing that's noticed is form.
No, that was form.
But then in the six opulences, they all expand from beauty. Okay. Right, so it's because it was giving the example previously of discussing the female nature. So form is always so important. There's so much emphasis put there because if the form is right, everything else will follow. Right? Is that what I said? Yeah. I say multi-billion dollar industry based on this alone, and then all of its, you know, subsidiaries like that. So.
And all the optimists.
Yes, because if there's no beauty, the guys would all be sitting around in worn-out blue jeans and T-shirts, you know, just drinking beer and burping like that. But because there's women, therefore, then they, you know, dress up. Yes. We were somewhere in this paragraph.
The Lord thus exhibits the fullest meaning of the word liberation.
Okay. Yeah, so you see here is that the, always these things always will be there, just that by wording and poetry, then they'll use different words, different synonyms, put them in different orders. Because it's poetry. That's the thing. The devotee's poetic. So in these explanations, you'll still end up with always the same things. Right? So when you see the demigods offer prayers, different devotees offer prayers, most of the times all the same points. But they're emphasizing something different, bringing out more detail in one area or something like that. So you see they're always talking the same aspects.
Yeah.
It's just that now in the 11th canto, then we're seeing more that kind of the analytical aspect being presented. But not the analytical aspect from the how the construction of things and how Krishna is part of that. But here, more the mentality.
Yeah.
More subtle. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that aspect is being brought out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the last chapters of Gita.
Yes, yes.
You know, how to apply the karma, you know, the buddhi yoga understanding, how you say, the modes of nature and all these different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So makes sense? That's just, so this is what the 11th canto is doing, same kind of aspect. The Lord thus exhibits the fullest meaning of the word liberation. O subduer of the enemies, at the time of creation, the personality of Godhead expands his own transcendental potency in the form of time and agitated his material energy, Maya, composed of the three modes of material nature. He creates the Mahatattva. Right? So he's the actual meaning of liberation because he's beyond. The Jiva is trying to get liberation to go beyond the material nature, but he could still be under the control of. But Krishna can never be under. So he's the actual position of liberation. So then when you bring yourself in line with Krishna, who's actual liberation, then we actually become liberated.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
According to two great sages, that which is the basis of the three modes of material nature and which manifests the variegated universes is called the Sutra, or Mahatattva. Indeed, this universe is resting within that Mahatattva. Oh, that's the meaning of Sutra. Okay, because sometimes, not so often, that you hear him refer to Sutra. Like that. Maharaj would use that.
Yeah.
He would use it a lot. Indeed, the universe is resting within that Mahatattva. And due to its potency, the living entity undergoes material existence. Because Mahatattva will have all the basis of everything in creation. Whatever is there, all the different elements, all the different aspects. So that's all Mahatattva. That's why it functions. It may be the gross form of it, but that metaphysical aspect is pervading everything. So that potency is what makes everything run. Right? Is that,
yeah.
And that's resting on Krishna. Just as from within himself, the spider expands thread through his mouth, plays with it for some time, and eventually swallows it. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands his personal potency from within himself. Thus, the Lord displays the network of cosmic manifestation, utilizes it according to his purpose, and eventually withdraws it completely within himself. So that same aspect. It's made from him, it's expanding from him, then it's wound back up into him. So there isn't anything other than Krishna. So to understand he's God, we have to understand that everything is coming from Krishna. Krishna is everything. Right? So that that detaches us, gives us knowledge, detaches us from the material world. Because if Krishna is everything, that means everything you have to deal with according to it being Krishna. Right? Now, where does the devotion come in? Everything's in Him. Right? So He, the person, the personality. Right? Because He is everything. You don't necessarily see the aspect of personality. That's what we're meaning, the difference here. The Brahman and Paramatma aspects, then that's all happening. But when you see it's Him, the person, so if everything's in Him, that means, that's good, because He says, I am beyond. It's all in me, but He is beyond. Does that make sense?
So Maharaj, this is aspect to always remember Krishna?
Yeah, and never forget, yes. Okay. We never forget because everything's connected to Him. We always remember because it's all Him. He's a person. You can also divide this that He, everything's, and then He's beyond this as a person. That's also there. If you really want to bring it out. If, in other words, if you're just taking it that there's Krishna as a person and then expanding through His energies, through His impersonal aspect, He takes care of all this. Then you don't have to, if you want to differentiate here between Brahman and Paramatma, then you can make these two and then say that He's a person beyond. So it's just a matter of what you want to bring out. You know, how much detail. Right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, it's just like, if you know, then you don't have to. If it's necessary for the conversation, let us say, like before, we were saying, giving previously the example, we're frying the potatoes. All we have to do is say the potatoes get fried. Right? And so that's understood. But if you want to get into the detail, they're fried twice. You understand? And there's a difference between the two fryings. You know, the purpose and everything like that. The first one is to get it cooked, the other one is to get the color. You know, and that color will give that flavor. Does that make sense? So, if you need, you go into that detail. That's why sometimes we become confused, because sometimes we're dealing with it generic and sometimes we're dealing with it in specific. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, he learned from the spider how the Lord carries out creation and destruction of the universe. This is explained in 6.5 verses. Karanarnava Shai Vishnu alone, without assistance of anything except his own Shaktis, withdraws the universe by his time Shakti. He alone exists since nothing existed outside of the Lord. Nothing existed since the total universe and its parts were all destroyed. He is his own support. He is the shelter of all Shaktis. That's the whole point, is he's in a different category. That's why we were saying before, you don't have the infinite regression, because he's his own support. Infinite regression happens because one thing is here, but where did that come from? Right? You know, we say, okay, we have this table. Where did that come from? Well, that became from the carpenter. Well, that came from, wood, the raw wood he had. Where did that come from? That came from, you know, the trees. Where did that come from? That came from lumberyard. Where did that come from? That came from the forest. Where did that come from? That came from all that stuff on the ground. And, you know, like that. You understand? Yeah. So it just keeps going. Well, where does that come from? You know, you just keep going until somebody gets bored and it's time for, you know, to eat something. Right? So it just goes on like that. But he's the support of himself. So there isn't anything beyond him. So everything stops with him.
Infinite regression entails dependency.
Sorry?
Infinite regression entails dependency.
Yes. Infinite regression infers dependency. He is independent. Therefore, there's no infinite regression. Everything goes back to him. So the regression goes back as far until it gets to him. Like that. So at any point, however much detail you know, you can apply the detail. But at some point where you don't know the detail, it's easy. All the detail in between the point that you know up to, then it's all included in Krishna. So if even you only know one point of the regression, then you know Krishna, you know everything. Right? Because it's not volume of knowledge, it's getting to Krishna. So if one person has to go through 10 stages, 20 stages before they get to Krishna, and someone else only needs one stage to get to Krishna, why is the 20 stages better? Because they know more detailed knowledge. Right? Because you see, Krishna's giving, like in the Gita, so much details of his universal form. And he points out, what's the use of all this? What's the point of all this detailed knowledge? Simply know that this is all a spark of his splendor. That's the point. All it is that's given so that you have an idea how to see Krishna in everything. But if we're thinking it's just detail of knowledge, that's not important. But it's important that it's coming from Krishna. He says, we're all... The Brahmana continued, if out of love, hate, or fear, an embodied soul fixes his mind with intelligence and complete concentration upon a particular bodily form, he will certainly attain the form that he is meditating upon. Mm-hmm. O king, once a wasp forced a weaker insect to live, enter its hive, and kept him trapped there. In great fear, the weak insect constantly meditated upon his captor. And without giving up his body, he gradually achieved the same state of existence as the wasp. Thus, one achieves a state of existence according to one's constant concentration. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, it is not surprising that those who constantly meditate on the Lord attain forms similar to his. This the Brahmin learned from the wasp. This is explained in two verses. When the action of the mind does not go elsewhere, the jiva attains a form similar to that of his meditation. If the meditation is going all over the place, then, you know, how you say? Unless you want a form of minestrone, then, you know, it's got to focus on something. Yes. Right? I'm not saying minestrone is bad, we're just saying that it's not much of a form. Right? It's always constantly changing, constantly disappearing. Right? You know, it's probably one of the most temporary things that there is. No? Yes? Okay.
Marit, we can say that we get what we want. We get what we want.
We get what we want, yes.
According to our desire.
Yes. So that's the thing. If you always are meditating upon the Lord, then you'll take on a form that's similar to his. It doesn't say exactly. It's similar. So in Vaikuntha, because you're just taking on that greatness and all that, then the form there, Sarupya, is basically like the Lord. Just doesn't have Srivatsa. But it doesn't mean that's the only form of Vaikuntha. You have all other kinds of shapes and forms that are there. Especially, I think, in the Shantaras and stuff like that. They have all kinds of different forms. But the point is that they'll take on that form. But for others, they'll take on forms similar. That means that they match.
Yes.
So when if you're meditating on Dwarka Krishna, you get a form that matches serving Krishna and Dwarka. You're meditating on Braja Krishna, you get a form that matches serving Krishna and Braj. Is that? Yeah. Yeah. So this whole point of that transformation, I think in the Upanishads, there's a story, I can't even remember who it's told about. But some girl was not maturing, and everybody was getting worried about it. And I think she just went out of the house, went down to the beach, and she was meditating and all that. And then they all thought, what happened to her and all that. And then they went looking for her, and they found this pile of sand on the beach, you know, because it had been some time. And when they opened the sand, then it was that same girl, but now she had matured. Like that. Because of meditation. So that's the point being, is that you meditate on something, you take on those qualities. So you meditate upon, always on Krishna and the devotee, you take on that devotional quality, you take on that position. So that's the whole point there, because they're not recommending it as a way of materially benefiting. They're just pointing out, this is how it works. Right? Prabhupada gives this example of the wasp. So that insect that's been caught by the wasp, because they when they leave their body, they think of the wasp, they take on a wasp form. But even here it's saying they get already before, without giving up, they've already taken on that mentality. Does that make sense? So whatever is the next form, you already have the mentality in this body. Now. Yeah?
We need to be careful.
Yes, you have to be careful, right? So yeah, don't go thinking about those aardvarks too much, right? You know, it's like, yeah. Right. Verses 24 to 33. What the Avaduta Brahma learned from his body. Right, so there were elements. What was that before? There were the elements. Then.
I think this is the 24 elemental
group. Oh, that was the previous one. Yeah. Nature. That was nature, and then what he learned from his body. Okay. Yeah, because he had so many. The gurus were in different categories. So he's going through in the categories. The Brahmana continued, O king, from all these spiritual masters, I have acquired great wisdom. Now please listen that I explain what I learned from my own body. The material body is also my spiritual master because it teaches me detachment. Being subject to creation and destruction, it always comes to a painful end. Thus, although using my body to acquire knowledge, I always remember that it will ultimately be consumed by others. And remaining detached, I move about this world. Right? So the body has its value in as much as you can gain this God-conscious knowledge. Bring, you know, elevate the consciousness. But the body will be consumed by others. That's just how it is. Just the time will go, this and that, you know, how you say, you know, how you say, little critters coming and nibbling on your toes at night when you sleep, you know, all these things. It's going to go away. So understanding that, therefore he's detached, but since he's in the body, he you know, follows, you know, what he can do with the body to attain that transcendental position. Right? So the duties are performed. A man detached from the body accumulates, a man attached to the body accumulates money with great struggle to expand and protect the position of his wife, children, property, domestic animals, servants, homes, relatives, friends, and so on. He does all this for the gratification of his own body. As a tree before dying produces the seed of a future tree, the dying body manifests the seed of one's next material body in the form of one's accumulated karma. Right? So plants, just before they die, they always produce fruit. Mm-hmm. Right? So in the same way is that before leaving one's present body, one is already, by the accumulation of karma, you've already produced what will be the next one. Right? Thus assuring the continuation of material existence, right? So okay, material existence has to go on. Right? The material body sinks down and dies. Right? A man who has many wives is constantly harassed by them. He is responsible for their maintenance, and thus all the ladies constantly pull him in different directions, each struggling for her self-interest. Similarly, the material senses harass the conditioned soul, pulling him in many different directions at once. On one side, the tongue is pulling him to arrange tasty food. Then thirst drags him to get a suitable drink, right? Because once he eats, then he gets thirsty. Right? Suitable drink, right? Simultaneously, the sex organs clamor for satisfaction, and the sense of touch demands soft, sensuous objects. The belly harasses him until it is filled, right? Because the tongue just wants to taste nice stuff. It's not worrying about the tongue. Could just go on eating forever, right? But, you know, but the belly wants to be filled. Once it's filled, then it can't taste anymore, so you give up, right?
Sometimes now it's just typing between.
Yeah. So you're eating more and getting more just until at some point the stomach always wins, right? The ears demand to hear pleasing sounds. The sense of smell hankers for pleasant aromas. And the fickle eyes clamor for pleasing sights. Thus the senses, organs, and limbs, all desiring satisfaction, pull the living entity in many directions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanding his own potency, Maya Shakti, create innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes, and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within his heart. Then he created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth and became pleased. Right? So the living entity is, we're thinking, I'm going to enjoy the senses. But we're controlled by the senses, because each one wants all these different things. Right? You know, it's just like you want to get something to eat. You get something to eat, but now you want to sit in a nice place that is something nice to look at. You understand? So it's always going. And then the belly wants enough volume that it's going to get filled. And then where you're going to sit, that it should be a comfortable place, you know, or nice breezes or something. You understand? So it's just each one is clamoring for their own. So that's the thing. We're thinking I'm controlling, I'm enjoying the senses, but we're actually being controlled by them. Mm-hmm. So that's the fun part. Right? So to get all the varieties of combinations of possibilities of these things, then the Lord has created all the various species of life. But the Lord not being satisfied, because that's not the purpose of the material world. That's not the natural position of the jiva. Right? The position of the jiva is to serve the Lord in devotion. So that means then you have to have a species that, by being in the material world, they could elevate themselves back to the transcendental position. Mm-hmm. So then he created the human form of life, then Krishna is satisfied. Right? Because that's what it's for. It's not for other things. The animals are already there, they're doing a great job. Like that.
So now, in the next one, this time that we need to develop manana.
Yes. Well, that's the whole thing of here is that before that we've heard.
Yes.
Right? We're trying to remove all doubts. That's the idea, is through the first 9 cantos, you removed all the doubts, that then you appreciate Krishna and his position as transcendental pastime.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't look at them from a variety of material right and wrong concepts.
Yes.
Right? Because when we're looking at material consciousness, then you have, you know, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha.
Mm-hmm.
These are the 4 material positions. So, material means you're looking at right and wrong. What's right or wrong for the best of betterment of my senses?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's right and wrong for the, development of society? You know, in the way of economics, justice, morality and all this, ethics, so that now we can all enjoy our senses. So you have right and wrong. Or dharma, what's right and wrong in dharma, so that I get the benefit of the piety that I get my material, you know, enjoyment. Or what's right and wrong in connection to liberation. Right? So all these aspects of right and wrong will be there. So one has to be able to go beyond right and wrong.
Mm.
It has to be, how is it pleasing to Krishna?
Mm-hmm.
That's the actual right and wrong. In other words, it's not that you're going beyond, you don't have a concept of right and wrong, but it's not material anymore. Now it's spiritual. It pleases Krishna, it's right. It doesn't please Krishna, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's then what 11th canto is going to define. As we see, as we come up to, Krishna will give this, this point. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, since the Lord created the human body for attaining liberation, one should not use it to go to hell. Because it's just the opposite direction. So you're wasting time, right? You're supposed to go in the same direction. Right? The Lord created many bodies, Purani. He then created the human body in which intelligence gives one's direct vision of the Supreme Lord. Right? Because Krishna will reveal through the human activity being done under the authority of Guru, then one can actually perceive the Lord, because Krishna will reveal himself. The Brahmana continues. After many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life, as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. Right? In other words, if you're already dead, then that particular dead body, you do not have to engage in Krishna's service. Right? You don't have to worry about that. But if it's not dead yet, then you engage it. Yeah? Right? Simple. Just in case you're confused.
And we cannot use, we cannot engage another dead body.
No, yeah, or other dead bodies, or things like that, so yeah. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being.
Mm.
All these other 8 million forms of life they actually, all they do is deal with the senses. Right? That's all they do. And all the things that we're thinking we as humans are experiencing that are unique that the animals don't. No, the animals all have that. You know, as we saw before from that story of the pigeon and his family, just all the nuances that are there in society, they are experiencing exactly that. The difference is they can't become God conscious. Because they're only conscious of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's it. Right? So just because what's come up to pranamoy doesn't mean that it's actually come to the proper platform. Right? One has to be endeavoring for anandamaya. That will be. Right? That will be. Yeah. What's that? But, Turiya. The Turiya, no, even beyond Turiya. Prema. One has to be endeavoring for prema. Is that what you're saying? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura writes, the human body is temporary but full of value. Since by the human body one can attain what is eternal. One should thus endeavor for the highest benefit as long as the body lives, because the body is temporary. After being born, it dies. Material enjoyment, vishaya, is possible in all bodies, such as dogs. Right? You don't need something worse. And dogs probably much happier than... The dog in the house is probably happier than the owner in the house. Right? Like that. There's a good chance. The Brahmin continued, having learned from my spiritual masters, I remain situated in realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and fully renounced and enlightened by realized self-spiritual knowledge. Wander the earth without attachment or false ego. Although the absolute truth is one without a second, the sages have described him in many ways. Therefore, one may not be able to acquire very firm or complete knowledge from one spiritual master. Right? Because all of them give him all different ways. So he's just saying that all these different things have to be considered. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami comments, since it is commonly understood that one is to accept a single spiritual master, why is it recommended that one learn from so many so-called spiritual masters, appearing in the forms of ordinary material objects? Right? Because he has 24 gurus, all of them are varieties of material objects, some inanimate, some animate. Like this. The explanation is that one's worshipable spiritual master will instruct one in many departments of knowledge by giving lessons gleaned from ordinary objects. As recommended by the Brahmana Abhidhuta, one can strengthen the teachings received from one's acharya and avoid transgressing his orders by observing ordinary things in nature. Right? Because we were discussing before, you heard from authority, shabda. Now you have to contemplate that, manana, until you can actually perceive it directly. Right? Because when you perceive it in everything that you do, then you're always situated on that, like we see here this Brahma. He's always situated on this platform. Does that make sense? Why here, then, we're just hearing him as the Brahmana? Because that's all that's necessary for us to understand this story. Right? Because he hears the Brahmana, so then one can't say, well, hey, he's a shooter, why am I going to listen to him? Right? So he's a Brahmana. But at the same time is, then, he's describing how to be detached from the world. So it's not about who he is or this and that, it's about his realization. So that's why then he's referred to here. Though, we see in the commentaries and that, they'll refer that this is Dattatreya. Yeah. But the point is, it's not important that he's Dattatreya. Because in Dattatreya, they may connect to other pastimes and this and that and miss the point. Mm-hmm. Point is here is he's a Brahmin who has this realization, he lives according to it, and therefore then, that's then what we're discussing. Mm-hmm. Other aspects in the pastimes of the incarnation as the Lord that Dattatreya does, that's not what's being discussed at this point. Mm-hmm. Right? Not that it can't apply there, but it's not being discussed. Mm-hmm. One should not mechanically receive the teachings of one's guru. The disciple should be thoughtful and with his own intelligence realize and practice what he's heard from his spiritual master by observing the world around him, right? Because you're applying it into your situation. In this sense, one may accept many gurus, right? Because there are six gurus. though not those who preach against the knowledge received from the bona fide spiritual master. In other words, the lesson learned is against what's given by the spiritual master. They're not a guru. You know? Like that. Because it has to be in line with, it's being able to realize what's once been given. Because otherwise then you understand, either if they're a person, then what they're talking, then it's not for us. Or if it's, we're dealing with material objects, and we're coming to some kind of understanding, but it's opposed to what the spiritual master, then that's the wrong point thing for us. Right? In other words, one should not hear from persons like the atheist Kapila. Right? Because what he has to say doesn't connect with what we do. Even though he may be talking Shankya and we accept Shankya, but not his definition of it. Yeah?
No, can you say that this 24 guru, they are like helping us to develop a spiritual intelligence in order to see things?
Yes. It's applying the intelligence. We're cultivating it, because manana means you're using your intelligence. Yeah. Right? It means you first use intelligence to actually, you know, understand the subject matter and to remove doubts. So that's the first 9 cantos, right? As we were saying. Then, the 10th canto, then the mind gets attracted by Krishna and his wonderful pastimes with his devotees, right? The platform of affection. So now, being determined, okay, this is what we want to attain to, now we see these 11th and 12th cantos, they'll explain that.
Yes.
Right? Specifically the 11th. Right? And so then we can apply ourselves.
If you work, if we follow the spiritual master and in the same time work to understand all the things, it's perfect.
Yes, that's what it's supposed to be. Because we've heard, but after hearing, you're supposed to apply.
Yes.
We only heard, but don't try to apply, don't contemplate, then we won't mature as quickly.
Yes.
Srila Sridhar Swami comments, the pigeon, fish, deer, young girl, elephant, snake, moth, and kurara bird are gurus teaching what to avoid. The bee, honey collector, and pingala teach what to avoid and what to accept. Other items such as earth teach what should be accepted. So he's showing us that the different things, what to know from each of them. Right? So in other words, the pigeon, that attachment to the family, identifying with the material body and objects connected to the body. The fish, because of their desire to taste. The deer, because of the desire to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, the young girls that avoid just gossip, mm-hmm. like that. The elephant, then the how you say, the sense of touch. What was the snake here?
Sorry?
No, I think that was coming up later.
The household. They build the house and then the snake
goes. Snake comes. Oh, so snake is then time. That's right. Snake of time. Don't waste your time. Okay, the moth then goes into the fire. What you shouldn't be doing, they have to do. Mm-hmm. Right? The Karara bird. Who was the Karara?
The hawk.
The hawk. Yeah. Oh, he gets attacked by all the others. He drops him. Even though you work hard to get something, someone bigger will come along and take it. When you have nothing, no one bothers you. When you have something, then everybody bothers you. Okay. Then, I'm just trying to think, what was the bee? What did the bee do? Okay, what to avoid? Okay, so avoid collecting too much, but the bee is just taking a little bit from every place. They're not trying to take everything from one place. So it had both. Then the honey collector. Anyone remembers that one?
Because they collect so much honey that people come and steal from them.
No, that's from the bees.
That's the bees.
But the honey collector, he doesn't take everything. He leaves something. Remember?
So he leaves something.
Yeah.
So okay.
We shouldn't be.
Or shall we? Greedy. We shouldn't be greedy. Okay.
Yeah, otherwise the bees will go.
Oh, yeah, you'll lose the bees. So you have to.
Also, the example was been given that grihasthas collect so much, but the brahmacharis and sannyasis take it away.
Oh, yeah, so the brahmacharis. So that's the positive side. You weren't here for that one. So they have the right to take to eat first. And then pingala was. Should not think that you can actually gain from material arrangements. And that by depending upon the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, then you get all benefit. You actually become peaceful. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay.